I'm glad for the presence of everyone today. Today's lesson is one that's an extension of a lesson that we had in young adult class. I had the privilege and the pleasure of teaching a young adult class this last quarter of Rick Reeder. And many of the topics that we talked about there were topics that would be pertinent to young adults as they go forward in their lives and search for spouses and begin their life alone and family alone. And some of those are things that they can't know otherwise. They can study the Scripture and see, but some of those are practical life experiences. They won't run across them until they happen to them. And today's lesson is one of those ideas. It's about being prepared. It's about being prepared just like Paul told the Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, that they could go and defend themselves against the wiles of the devil. Well, this is part of being prepared so that we can deal honorably and respectfully with our parents as we grow older. Today's topic is one about adult children and parents. Now, young children, you may think, well, this doesn't apply to me. He said it's going to be for adult children and it's going to be for parents. Well, no. You need to be looking at it from the standpoint of these are things that I expect to see in young adults and I expect to see in my parents or my grandparents as my older siblings and parents might deal with those grandparents. It's targeted, obviously, at the older generation, but it has implication for everyone involved. We should be looking for characteristics that we would expect in everyone's lives. The underlying principles of the lesson, there's two. It's honor and love in that relationship between adult children and their parents. Well, we're going to start with a simple definition. We've said adult children. We've said parents. Well, we obviously understand the definition of parents. Well, what defines an adult child? Those of you who were in the class, obviously you already know the answer to this, but there's a number of people in here who need to start beginning to thinking about when you're going to be an adult, when you're going to be accountable. When does a child become an adult? Legally, it varies from culture to culture. In ours, an expectant mother can be, this is interesting, here we've got all the bugs worked out and it's going to be bombing on me today. An expectant mother at age 14 is legally accountable and can decide for her own medical actions. She's considered an adult from that standpoint. She can decide whether to terminate a pregnancy. At 17, women can marry. At 18, young men can marry. For crimes and military service, one is a juvenile until they're 18. Age 21 is the age of majority. You can go into legal contracts. You can go out into business and start doing business ventures yourself. If you go on Wheel of Fortune, you can take the prize winnings. At age 25, you can get a rental car. You can start moving from one place to another. If you have an apartment somewhere and have to move your goods, at age 35, you can become president. In the Bible, it talks about at age 30, the priests began to serve when they were age 30. These are all ages that society recognizes certain events, certain levels of maturity for which people can become accountable. Well, emotionally, it varies from person to person. We all know that many people never mature or may not mature. Joseph matured at a very early age. He had various trials. He was given dreams as a gift by his parent, by God, in which he confided to his parents and confided to his brothers, and they hated him and were jealous of him because of those dreams. He was sold into slavery as a result. He rose to the top of the jail, and actually, I skipped one part. He was sold into slavery into Potiphar's house. Sorry. Getting ahead of myself. And there he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife as she enticed him to commit fornication. He was sold or put in prison as a result of that, and there he rose to the top of the prison, and then he became second in command in the kingdom of Egypt. Some handicapped people will be childlike for the rest of their lives. They'll never be able to handle complex concepts, and they'll never be able to take care of their own affairs. Others never choose to act like adults. That's a simple thing. We see some people that just act selfishly with their own interest in mind, and they never mature. So emotionally, it does vary from person to person. Well, the general definition is, it's one who's assumed responsibility for their own actions and the consequences of those actions. That's really what defines an adult. It's one who will take responsibility for their actions and the consequences thereof. I'd like to talk about some examples. Now, today's lessons, we're going to break it down. We've talked about the definition of adults. We're going to break it down into several categories of one's life. Adult children have many phases that they pass through. The first phase is they're adult children in their parents' home. And then later they'll move out on their own. They'll have their own family. And then some other additional phases in that life. One of the examples that we have about children in their parents' home, we have Noah's children. Noah's children, talks is implied that they were stayed with him for 100 years as he built the ark. We see that they were married, but they had no children. Another example of someone who lived with their parent for an extended period of time would have been Isaac. He remained in his father's home for 40 years, and he did not go out into his own home until after his mother had died and he took his wife Rebekah. After the death of Ruth's husband, we see that Ruth stays with Naomi and cares for her and gleans in the fields to support the two of them and treated her mother-in-law with love and respect. Well, what are some of the expectations? Obviously, Noah's sons had to be obedient. We often hear the phrase that as long as you live in my house, you live by my rules. I've heard that before. I've heard it said by other parents. I've heard it said that their children have told, their parents told them that. Well, this is especially true at this time. Parents are watching out for their children still as they mature. Another expectation is that adult children be respectful. After the flood, Ham was cursed for exposing his father's drunkenness. And as a result, he was cursed to be a servant of his two brothers. Adult children are to be considerate. Oh, considerate. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, curfews apply in many ways. Parents apply them for a number of reasons. One is so that they'll get to sleep at a reasonable time so the child doesn't come dragging in late. Also, parents have insight into the fact that many things happen after a certain hour that children just don't need to be involved in. We're fiercely independent as young adults. We want to go and do the things of our own. We have to be considerate to that. I know many of you could give personal examples of whether there were accidents or wrecks that have influenced your decisions to restrict your children's curfews. I have my own wreck when I was a young adult. I look back on that and I'll use that as my own example for my own children and how that I will try and govern them. Young adults, I'll consider myself in that category for now. Young adults, we considered ourselves invincible. Nothing could hurt us. Sickness wasn't a problem. Most of us hadn't had a whole lot of sickness at that time. We hadn't had a whole lot of things happen to us. But our parents have seen it happen to people. And a drunk driver can settle a whole lot of invincibleness in a very short period of time. We need to be helpful. And we need to be responsible. We need to expect to pay for our own needs as we become young adults. We need to start participating in taking care of the household, taking care of our clothing, our health insurance. We mentioned that age 21, if you're not a student, sometimes you have to start paying for your own health insurance. Parents have been lovingly preparing you to be independent. Now's the time to start easing into it. Let's look at some examples of adult children on their own. An example of bad behavior is that of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, 11 and 31, the prodigal son did a number of things. First off, he asked for his inheritance before he deserved it. He moved in with people that did not love him or care for him. He wasted his inheritance on riotous living and sinful pleasures. He didn't bother planning for the future, otherwise he would have done something other than taking food from the, or wanting to take food and eat the husk that he was feeding to the hogs after he had wasted his living. And one thing we have to say about the prodigal son is he did come to his senses. Many times it takes bottoming out. And oftentimes that's what parents are trying to keep us from doing, is bottoming out before it's too late. Additional examples. Joseph shows us how one living alone can overcome. We talked earlier about Joseph. He kept his faith intact. That was the first thing. He didn't lose hope. He did not get discouraged. And he did the best that he could regardless of the situation. And when things came to the end, he never forgot his family, and he made provisions for them when they were eventually reunited. Well, what are the expectations for a young person living on their own? Well, first off, it's to be responsible for your own actions and your own needs and establishing your own family. I mean, being on your own now is you're easing out into life. And hopefully you're looking for a spouse to share the joys and the pleasures of the rest of your life with. But it's that time at which you need to become responsible. Many spouses aren't going to want someone who is irresponsible. I wouldn't. I'm very thankful for the one that I have. Other expectations. We must realize that we still don't know everything. As young adults on our own, wow, we've got independence that's newfound. We're making decisions on our own on a daily basis. But we still don't know everything. We don't know how to buy a house. We haven't bought one yet. We may not have bought our own car. Our parents may have co-signed for it the first time. We may not know how to get a loan. Take out a lease. All of those things are things that young adults out on their own only learn by experiencing them. And you have to realize that. And there's going to be things that you have to realize on your own, that you won't know until you run across them. Things that are temptations that you'll have to back away from. And those, hopefully, will be the things that you'll be able to rely upon your Bible knowledge and the insights that the Bible has given from the different examples throughout the Bible that will guide you not to make the wrong decision. Well, another phase and it follows the adult children living on their own is adult children with prospective spouses. Dating. Adult children are going to be dating, hopefully trying to find a spouse. And in that phase comes the decision to choose wisely. It's a special and it's a joyous time. It's going to set the tone for the remainder of your life, depending upon the choice of spouse. Some examples that the Bible talks about. Samson. Now, we know God was using Samson to punish the Philistines. But one aspect of Samson's life is he was a very gruff and individual. In the way that he treated his parents, he was disrespectful. The situation where he went to Timnah and found a woman there that he wanted to be his wife. He came back to his father, and his response to his father was, "Get her for me as a wife." He didn't ask. He said, "Get her for me as a wife." Samson was disrespectful in the way that he asked his parents to get a wife for him. And she was both a grief to Samson and to his parents. Hosea was directed to choose poorly. God told Hosea to choose a poor wife. One that was a wife of whoredoms. One that was expected to betray him. Now there was a message behind that. God wanted his people to understand the relationship of that, and how he felt betrayed by his people seeking after idols. The results were devastating. She was unfaithful to him. Two of his children were born as illegitimate children. Well, what else can we say about prospective spouses? We need to remember that if you're dating and you're not married yet. That's the first thing to remember. And with that comes, you may find occasion to be with your spouse or your fiancé in your parents' home alone. You need to take care to preserve your reputations and to eliminate temptations. You don't need to exercise rights that are reserved for married couples. And first and foremost, don't expect to be treated like a married couple because you're not married. Well, what follows after spouses? If we do marry, we have our own family. If we have children, there's going to come responsibilities with that. In our relationship to our parents, don't expect our parents or grandparents to be resident babysitters. Why? It's got to be their choice. They're your children. You're responsible for them now. Be sensitive to your parents' needs. If they're taking care of the children, don't impose times upon them. They may need to take time for themselves. They may have health problems that they don't want to tell you about. Parents are awfully fiercely independent. We'll see that as we go further into our lesson. They oftentimes don't always completely aren't forthcoming about what their frailties are. We need to be sensitive to that and not impose too much on them. We cannot expect our parents to control our children because they're our responsibility. We can't expect them to discipline our children. Grandparents, on the point I did not make here, but as I thought about it, on the flip side, parents or grandparents, as they're dealing with their grandchildren, need to be consistent, hopefully understanding the requirements that the parents have imposed on children so that the grandchildren don't play the two off against each other. Grandchildren are notorious for playing off against parent against parent. They do it against parents and grandparents as well. Well, grandmommy said I could do this. Granddaddy said I could do this. Mama said I couldn't do this. Well, it'll be okay. We need to be consistent with our message. When we visit our parents' home, we need to be considerate. We talked about being considerate earlier. Considerate when we were adults in our own parents' home. We need to be considerate when we have our own families. Don't expect to be waited on hand and foot. You're old enough to do your own at this point. Do not expect your parents to pay for every meal, though they often will insist. Leave things the way you found them. And be careful not to overwhelm with multiple siblings when you're bunking down for the night. When we go to Murfreesboro, we have two families and four extra kids to bunk in with the grandparents. And there were times when Sandra's parents were sick, but that just was too much. We need to be careful about that. If you have more than the few siblings that Sandra's family has, it can be even worse. You need to be thinking about that and making provisions for that. It's all part of being considerate. We have to continue to be respectful and ensure that our family members are respectful and do likewise. Don't expect your parents to bail you out of financial problems. It's your mess now. It's your responsibility. It's your life. They may be willing to be helpful, but it's your obligation. Conversely, parents need to be careful not to exert influence on families by controlling them, by offering money or withholding money in ways that would influence and give them leverage. Here comes a tough topic. I consider it tough. I consider it tough because my parents fall in this category. But adult children with sick parents, children have a special responsibility to their sick parents. And failure to expect it is disrespectful to them and to God who commanded it. When Isaac was old and blind, Esau hunted in the fields to provide the venison that Isaac loved. When David was old and could no longer stay warm. His family made provisions for a young wife to be with him that he might be warm. Now, I'm not advocating that. But the principle is true. They were looking out for their father's needs. Children must work to know the parents' needs and to ensure that they're met. That means open communication has to go in both ways. Adult children and with aging parents. This is what I particularly said my parents fall into the category. And many of you have parents that are falling into this category, or you're the parent that is falling into this category. And that's why I said it's a tough topic. It's a time when the ground rules that we're accustomed to as a young adult, as we're maturing, or as an adult that's aging with our own families, the ground rules kind of change or can change. Hopefully, the parent has maintained their faculties throughout their entire life. Sandra's grandfather is an amazing man. He's into his upper 90s now, with full control of his faculties, and the only downside is that he can't get around like he used to could. Just a few years ago, he was driving around picking up his girlfriend, and going places and going bowling. That's amazing. That doesn't happen, but in very, very rare cases. We need to be prepared to deal with the ground rules that may be changing. And we need to figure out ways to do that honor our parents. Our parents, on the flip side, need to recognize that change is inevitable. In the golden years of their life, it's getting close to the end. And that's not something we want to consider as a morbid topic, but as a reality. They must be willing to accept help and to work with their children to make the remaining years together as enjoyable as possible. Well, how can we do this? Well, some of the areas that we have to deal with as adult children with aging parents is understanding finances. If we're not responsible with our own finances, how can we expect to be responsible with our parents? The Jews were condemned for depriving their parents of the need and the care and the honor that they were due. They had gone and, by their own tradition, negated the command to honor their parents by saying that their means had been given to the temple and they didn't have anything to take care of their parents with. God, or Jesus, condemned the Jews for doing this. Joseph cared for the needs of his family's members by bringing them to Egypt. He also observed his father's wish to be buried in the land where he had come from, not to be buried in the land of Egypt. Isaac cared for his father Abraham for 35 years. It said earlier that Isaac was age 40 when his mother died and when he took Rebekah as wife. Well, Abraham died at 175. If you remember, he was 100 when Isaac was born. He cared for his father for 35 years, making sure that his needs were met. And when it came time, Isaac and Ishmael had been run away by Abraham, both came together and took care of burying their father. We need to be familiar with our parents' finances and be prepared to help. As I talked earlier about open communication, I mean, it seems like an odd topic. Well, you need to be working your way into finding a way to talk about it and understanding it. I said earlier that parents are fiercely independent. Those parents in this audience here who are older, who made it through the years of the Depression, who made it through the years of the Depression and World War II, learned how to grow to be independent, how to live independently. Time. Well, as our parents grow older, new restrictions are going to be placed upon our time. We need to be a cheerful giver. Just as we're commanded to be a cheerful giver in God's Word, we're to be a cheerful giver and our time to our family. We're parents are to be a considerate recipient. We may be called upon to be prepared to help with doctor's visits. We need to be prepared to help maintain their household. And other things that may come along those lines. There will come a time when we need to be prepared to help the physical needs of our parents. As our parents' bodies become more frail, we must learn to assist. We may need to provide aids that will help. Along those lines, it may be hearing aids. It may be wheelchairs. It may be lift chairs. It may be walkers. It may be special bathroom facilities. All of those things are things that we may need to be thinking about. We need to be sensitive to their frailties and their sensitivities. There may come a time when your parents are no longer able to bathe themselves or to go to the restroom alone. And you may be called upon to help. And in doing so, we have to find a way to treat them with dignity. Well, this calls for something next. Tactful assertiveness. All of this, as I indicated, parents are fiercely independent. Tactful assertiveness comes a great skill in learning how to deal with this. It makes conflicts easier, and it will make you dealing with your parents easier. There may come a time when you're forced to restrict it. Sandra's grandfather can't drive anymore. Boy, he hated giving up his van. You need to work together to know when they can no longer live alone. I'm using Sandra's grandfather as an example because he's a really good one from this case. He lived on the family farm his entire life. Been in the family for 3 generations, I believe, 150 years. There won't be anybody taking over that family farm. What can we do to help our parents? Well, I'll use the Waldrons since they aren't here. Sister Lee lived alone for a long time, and one of the ways they helped her do that was they gave her a personal monitoring system. They helped give her independence by giving her a way that she could get help if she needed it. We may need to be called upon as adult children, hopefully prepared ahead of time to be able to provide help part-time or hire someone part-time to help. We may have to propose a healthier roommate, hopefully of the same sex. Definitely in our category of that. You may have to consider bringing your parent to live with you. And if you've thought about it ahead of time, there's provisions now for long-term care insurance. And that seems, why am I standing in the pulpit talking about these things? Well, we talked earlier about this is a lesson about being prepared. Another aspect of dealing with our parents and restricting them may come a time when we can't let them drive anymore. Or we may not feel comfortable with them driving with our children in the car. Or some other aspect that will be a very touchy subject. You need to work together along those lines with your parents. And you're going to have to learn how to bite your tongue hard when it comes time. You're going to have to learn how to do it and when to do it. Adult children and aging parents need to be looking for a spouse that will help them with their responsibilities and encourage them when things are rough. And that remember that you're not the only one that's affected. Your spouse is affected. Your children will be expected to help out, and they will be affected as well as they deal with their aging grandparents. You need to build a good working relationship with your siblings. So no one child shares all the responsibilities. You need to communicate. You need to confide. And you need to share. Share your thoughts and share in the work. there's going to be some of you that are going to be in this task alone. You may be an only child. And as a result, Christian friends are invaluable. You need to develop a circle of Christian friends that are willing to assist you when you need it. Today's lesson is about living as a Christian. Parents and children must learn their roles and accept them. I said earlier it's about being prepared. Doing so makes both parties pleasing to God. If you're not a Christian, this lesson should show some of the blessings that come through following God's will. You can't have that circle of Christian friends and rely upon them like you can if you're not a Christian. And as we close our lesson, it's not been a lesson about telling you how to become a Christian. But as you ponder now, as the invitation is sung, ponder these things and the blessings that God has to offer you as His child on top of the other blessings that we've talked about on our lesson today. If you're subject to the invitation now, come and stand as we stand and sing.
Wayne Holt has given me a song that he would like for me to read the words to you that fit in with James's lesson. I appreciate James's lesson, and it's something that many of us need to consider, and even consider that the love that our parents have had for us and what we need to have for our children. And this song, the words of this song express that. It says, "Little children from above, sent to us with joy and love, bring a hope so clear and bright. Father, help us raise them right. Oh, how tender is the sight, little ones in bed at night, parents praying at their feet. Father, keep them pure and sweet. Little children, sooner grown, can they face the world alone. As they strive and struggle through, Father, let them turn to you. When our time to go draws near, we may leave our children here to the new land far away. Father, bring them home someday." Beautiful words and expression of what our desire is for our children and what most of our parents' desire was for us. Appreciate the lesson, James.